God be with you. We're still doing all right. We're still here. So because it's always on my mind this time of year, I just need to lament once more that it's a Sunday before Advent. Does anyone want to join me in the boat called the Nile? It's a good place. It's comfortable. We don't have to do anything. We'll just ignore it all and be blissfully ignorant. Has anyone started to put up Christmas decorations? Yes. Anyone listening to Christmas music yet? I have the rule of no Christmas before Advent. But for those of you who are interested in putting on the Christmas music, I highly recommend Sharon Jones's Christmas album. She's a great soul singer. She just passed away from cancer, and her Christmas one is just phenomenal. And you'll have dance parties all Advent long, I promise. But this is a Sunday before Advent. Let's enter into it boldly. Let's not deny it. And let's see what's there for us to talk about. Today, actually, being the Sunday before Advent, actually has a special name. Does anyone know what today is called? It's your favorite holiday you've never heard of. It is Christ the King Sunday. Yes. It's one of the holidays in that Christian calendar we have. That calendar that introduces us to different divine rhythms that we as human are supposed to live by. And Christ the King Sunday is always a Sunday before Advent. It's the last Sunday, actually, of the Christian calendar. Next Sunday is a new year. We kick it off with Advent. And we don't always, if you're keeping track, because I know you all do, it's not something we always celebrate here, because I'm not always sure what to do with Christ the King Sunday. Because on the one hand, I have to wrestle with the fact that Christ the King Sunday was born in 1925 or 1922 or thereabouts out of this attempt to nationalize Christianity. And when you ever try to nationalize Christianity, it's always a dangerous, dangerous thing. So I don't know what to do with that. And then there's the fact of Christ the King Sunday. And how do you make that understandable and accessible in this post-monarchical world? So you could change it to Christ the Prime Minister Sunday. Doesn't work. No, it doesn't have the girth to it. So I never really know what to do with it. So I took the dog for a walk yesterday, and I was thinking about the passage that went along with this Sunday for some reason. And it was a passage that Scott just read. This passage that we always hear on Good Friday. And it may seem really kind of odd. And it is. It's weird. But I wonder if there's something there within that passage that we can spend some time with, knowing that this is Christ the King Sunday, and knowing that Advent is just around the corner. And maybe we can spend some time with this passage that we just heard, and maybe we can step out a day early into the rhythm that Advent asks us to embody. So that's the plan for today. But before we get into that, let's bow our heads and we'll say a prayer. So God, here we are, ready to hear from you. And so may you take these words of mine and may you make them your own. May you speak through them, around them, in between them. And may we leave here with a good and hope-filled word. So God, we turn ourselves in this time over to you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, by saying, Amen. So I'm sure we'll talk more about this in the weeks to come, but Advent is all about the soulful anticipation of Christmas, which means it's not just about getting excited for Christmas, but it's about remembering why we need Christmas, but why we need Jesus. Not just way back then, 2,000 years ago, but right now, in our own lives and in our own world. And because Advent is all about that, one of the rhythms of being human that we're encouraged to adopt throughout this season is the spiritual practice of what I call doubling down the dark. Doubling down the dark. It's the spiritual practice of looking into our interiors and into the world around us and seeing the darkness, of feeling our woundedness, of experiencing the despair. But all the while doing that, looking for where the light is shining in, looking for where healing and movement is taking place, looking for where hope is taking root. Advent, it's all about doubling down the dark because we hold on to the truth that Christmas gives us, that the darkness does not win, that God is with us and God is for us, that this is God's world and we are not alone. The rhythm Advent wants us to embody, not just for the season, but for every day of our lives, is the ability to stare into the darkness, into the pain, into the despair, and not become overwhelmed, not become defeated, not just write it all off as a lost cause, but to see where the light is shining, to see where healing and growth is happening, to see where hope is taking a root, and see, you do not win, and you double down, knowing the light will always win over the darkness. And I wonder if this text that Scott read for us today is the perfect text to learn how to double down the dark. I wonder if we spend some time with this text, if we can step into that rhythm as we head into Advent next week. So I wonder what we'll see in it. I wonder what kind of world we'll see. So let's walk through that again. Don, can you go back to the story, please? Let's go back to the beginning of the story. Back some more. Yeah. So when they came to a place called Skull Hill, they crucified him. One of the most torturous, abusive, mind-boggling things that humanity has ever come up with. And right alongside him being Jesus, there's a criminal on his right and a criminal on his left. And then Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." And dividing up his clothes, the soldiers, they gambled for him. The clothes he was wearing was one big piece of single fabric, a very rare, very expensive piece of cloth. So they wanted it, so they bet on it. And the people there stood around him, staring at Jesus, making faces, mocking, humiliating, ridiculing him, saying, "He saved others, save yourself." The Messiah, the chosen, laughing. And then the soldiers came up, they poked fun at him, mocked him, gave him some gross wine to drink, taunting him, "You're the king of the Jews, you can't even save yourself." Next slide. And then one of the criminals, the one on his side, made fun of him some more, jeering at him, taunting him, humiliating him. But then the other one told him to be quiet, saying, "This God is here. We deserve this, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this." And then he asks Jesus if he can remember him, if there's grace for him. And Jesus says, "Yeah, don't worry. I'll remember you. Today, you will join me in paradise." So as we stare into this text, what darkness, what pain, what despair would you see? In the way that this empire crucified anyone who spoke out against them, we see a world that's so full of oppression, where even a whisper of anything different is muted because you're so terrified of what would happen to you. In that display of force, we see a world where power is defined by violence, by might, by the ability to save yourself. In the words of the actions of the soldiers, we see the belief that the way you build yourself up is by tearing down and humiliating others. And in the despair that we can feel throughout this story, we see a world built up, founded on division and fear. And in the general darkness that just permeates this story, we see a world that's just so absent of anything bigger than ourselves. A world that seems to scream at us, this is how it is. You can't do anything to change it. Either get in line or get up on the cross. Maybe you found similar things as you read it. Maybe you felt that pain, that darkness, that woundedness. And you'd be right, all of that is there. That's all true. And it's no wonder we would see that first, because we're so familiar with it, not just from that story, but from our own lives, from our own stories. We know what it's like to have lives of darkness, of sorrow, of pain and hurt. We see it so easily because it's so prevalent around us. And usually, once you see a story like that, once you encounter darkness like that, that's where you stop, isn't it? You get scared, you run away, you don't want to deal with it. It's just too overwhelming, it's too solid, it's too concrete. Let's just ignore it. Let's get in that boat of denial. But this is where that rhythm of Advent kicks in. That rhythm that calls us to take a second look, to stare a bit harder, to feel a bit stronger, to see what else is going on in our lives, our world, and our story. So maybe you can see something else, something behind it, something within it, something around it, underneath, in between, something that's almost daring us to be seen. Because we could see this in the very foreshadowing of Jesus's resurrection. We see a world of hope and liberation. In Jesus not fighting back, we see a world where power is defined by love and compassion and the ability to give yourself away. In Jesus' actions to the criminal beside him, we see the belief that the way you build yourself up is by building up and celebrating others. In Jesus' words over the crowd, we see a world of justice, of peace, and inclusion. In the light that's creeping just beneath the surface of this story, we see a world that points to something bigger than ourselves. A world that seems to sing, no, this is how the world is. This is God's world, and God is still here. There is a reason to have hope. It's the same story. Just a matter of what you see within it. And the rhythm Advent invites us into is to always be people who look for the light, to always be listening for that reverent hum, to always knowing that you can have hope, and always looking for that world within the world. And so the question that leads us to is this: which world do you want to be a part of? Which world do you want to call home? Because that's really what this question of kingship asks. It's a question of who do you want to follow? Do you want to follow the ways of anger and greed, selfishness and empire? Or do you want to follow the ways of love, compassion, justice, and peace? So that's the question we rumble with throughout Advent. As we stare at the darkness, as we recognize the hopelessness, the pain, the sorrow of it all, as we double down, holding on to the hope that light will shine, we get ready to say, yes, I want to live in the world beneath the world that Jesus brings, the way of hope, joy, peace, and love, the way that Spirit comes and guides us and leads us in. So my friends, as we enter into Advent, may you double down the dark, may you look for the light, and may you choose to live in the world that Jesus is bringing, that Jesus has already brought, God's world. A world in the midst of this one, one we can be a part of right here, right now. World of justice, inclusion, joy, and peace. May you come along with us, and may we build that world. Amen.